Well, dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we just celebrated Independence Day, and we went to the fireworks on Friday night. Anybody else was there? We went to the fireworks on Friday night, and while we were waiting, we read the Declaration of Independence. We thought it was a very American thing to do, right? And so today, now it's Sunday, today we're not so much focusing on Independence Day, but and how we declared our independence however long ago, 249 years actually. But what we are doing is Jesus declares that the kingdom is near. The kingdom has come in power. Jesus is declaring in this stage in his ministry that his kingdom is near, and he wants the message to go out. And so instead of writing it down and signing a bunch of names to it, right, Declaration of Independence, what he does is he sends out his disciples to declare that the kingdom of God has come near in Christ. He sends his disciples as representatives of the kingdom. And this is a curious and interesting thing. Because the very act of bringing the word to others through his representatives actually brings the kingdom's reign and power to those places. It's kind of like declaring something, kind of like how the Declaration of Independence actually made that independence, right? The kingdom of Jesus, the reign of God, actually comes to those people through the word that is brought. And so when the disciples, whenever they came to a house, what were they supposed to say? You guys remember? Peace be to this house. And whenever they uttered those words on behalf of Jesus, what do you think it actually did in that house? Brought peace. Peace be to this house. The kingdom of God is near. And Jesus talks about how that word might be accepted, that they would then let the disciples stay in their house with them. The disciple was to use that house as kind of a home base to go and visit other households and bring that same kind of peace. And that word might also be rejected, right? And if the town rejected that disciple, then I love the trash talk, right? Then you're supposed to even wipe off the dust of your feet against that town, right? I'm not going to take anything of your town with me, not even dust on my feet, right? The disciples were sent as representatives of the kingdom. Not just saying that the peace is coming in Jesus and it's going to be here soon, but actually bringing that peace, that power, that reign with them, and giving it to people through the word. I think it's actually really cool. We should pause and consider that this is exactly how the reign of God has come to each of us. On that occasion, when Jesus sent out the disciples to begin to bring the kingdom of God to others, that was like the very first evangelism program, wasn't it? And that same pattern of bringing the kingdom of God and his power through the word continued on in the very beginnings of the church. You look at Pentecost and the rest of the book of Acts, and it continued on through church history. And dear Christian, somewhere down the line, somebody was sent by Jesus with that same word of power to maybe your ancestors. And your ancestors gave it to their children and their children and their children and then to you, dear Christian. Or maybe it was a lot more direct. Maybe you converted into the faith in your own life and you were the first of your family to be a Christian, and somebody was sent by Jesus with that word of power into your life. You are here today because of what Jesus began to do by sending his disciples out as representatives with the word. And so in many ways, what Jesus is doing is evangelism. He is saying, go and evangelize, bring the power of the kingdom to those who have not heard, bring peace to those houses. Although, you know what? I think that we often think of this in terms of those who do not yet believe, and they're brought to faith in this. And then it is evangelism, but when we think of it that way, it's not just evangelism. And maybe another way said, I think that sometimes we need to think of evangelism a little bit more holistically. That evangelism is not just going to those who have not yet heard the gospel and bringing the gospel to them. Evangelism is what Christians should do towards other Christians all the time. Who here does not need to hear the gospel anymore? I'll put my hand down. No! How often do you need to hear the gospel, dear Christian? All the time! If it's only once a day, that's not enough. You need to hear the gospel over and over and over and over again, because has anybody here been able to stop sinning? Has anybody here ever been hopeless? Yeah? Does anybody here need eternal life? Yeah! You need to hear the gospel all the time. You, dear Christian, even though you are Christian, you need to be evangelized to. You need to hear the word. And you, dear Christian, you know other people in your life. Even if you live alone, you still come into contact with other people. And you need to tell the people who live in your household, who you work with, who you are friends with, you need to tell the cashier at the store the gospel. Because you also are sent as representatives of the kingdom. The reign of God and His power comes through His word. And His word brings peace to people's lives. Now that word of peace can sound different sometimes. That word of peace can be delivered in different ways. And sometimes that word of peace is a hard word. Remember how the disciples are supposed to say, even the dust of my shoes I wipe off against you? That was a hard word, but it was a word that those people needed to hear. That the kingdom of God is here, it has come, and now you are opposed to the kingdom. They need to know that, right? So that they might repent. That was still a loving word, even though it was a hard word. You know, I'm just going to use some examples this morning as I talk about these different words of peace. And I know that in my experience, I've done a lot of premarital counseling. All right, these happy couples that stare into each other's eyes and it looks like a Hallmark movie is happening right in front of me. Right, I often had to give a hard word because these days, more often than not, they are living together. They're doing other things together before they are married. And I had to deliver that hard word to say, you know what, this is not what God has in mind for relationships and marriage. And I don't really enjoy doing that. That's not really why I became a pastor. It's not the most fun part of my job. But it's a hard word that I give out of love so that they might know what God wants for them. And also because having done that, that sin might plague them throughout their marriage. And so, you know what I get to say whenever I say that? As I say that hard word, that's hard for me to say too, but then you know what I say? That there is a way to make this right. And it doesn't come from you. What makes this right is not what you do, but what God does for you. And I get to give them a word of forgiveness. I ask, would you like to hear Jesus' forgiveness for this? And that makes it right? And they kind of go, yes, they weren't expecting to talk about that, right? And I give it to them. And so that word of peace also comes as a word of forgiveness. It's not just a hard word. And who here has had to give a hard word to somebody at some point? Yeah. And sometimes the right thing to do is to give a hard word out of love. But dear Christian, you also have the joy of giving peace to that person through forgiveness. You know, one of my most joyful things to do, it's a hard thing to do, but one of my most joyful things to do is when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, I need to confess something. I'm feeling guilty. I feel it in my gut. And I need to confess a sin to you. And you know what I get to say? And this is like one of my favorite things to do. Would you like to hear Jesus' forgiveness over that? By the way, I want you to know, dear Christians, that is open to you as well. If you ever want to come to me and you feel like you need to confess a sin, not only can you expect forgiveness, but I have to forgive you. Even if I don't like you, I have to say through gritted teeth, fine, you're forgiven, right? Like that's what you called me to do, is to forgive. If you ever need that, please come and find me. And I keep that confidential. But it's one of my favorite things to do, is to forgive sins. And you, dear Christian, are authorized by Jesus himself to forgive sins on his behalf as his representatives. Now, that word of peace can also come in other ways. It can also come in the form of you confessing your sin to somebody else. Here's kind of a hard story that frankly, I still feel very foolish about. But when I was a baby pastor, all right, I had come into contact with a woman who had left the church because she had been very hurt by the church. I don't know what the story was there, but she had been hurt by the church, and she was not very trusting of pastors, and I blew it. All right, I was not the person that hurt her originally, but what had happened was she had a son who had mental illness, and he was put into a facility for kids to get better. And God be praised, it did help him. But while he's in that facility, because she had developed this more trusting relationship with me, there was two people that she could have be his contacts and call him. All right, there was herself, and then because she trusted me, she put me on the list, and she asked if I would reach out and call to him over the next month while he was in the hospital. And guess what I didn't do? I still feel bad about that. And I might have excuses. I think it was a busy month. I think I had funerals and all that kind of stuff. But one day I got a call from her, and she said, "Hey, he's back from the hospital, and he said you didn't call." Oh, and that felt terrible. And so what was I called to do by Jesus in that moment? Was confess. And I said, "You know what? I blew it. I'm sorry. I should have called, and I didn't." And I didn't offer excuses, right? I just said, "You know what? I've sinned against you, and I should not have done this. Would you please forgive me?" And then you know what she said next? She said, "I've never had a pastor say sorry to me before. I've never had a pastor ask for my forgiveness." And I can only credit the Holy Spirit in this one. She actually trusted me more after that. And I got to still talk with her and her son and continue that relationship. Sometimes the hard word that you have to deliver, the word of peace that you have to deliver, is you confessing your sin. And friend, the Holy Spirit works with that too. Sometimes a word of peace can come from a word of hope. And one of the harder parts of my job is doing funerals, but it's also one of the best parts of my job is doing a funeral. Because the whole thing is just saturated in hope. When somebody has lost somebody that they know and love, and maybe it's a spouse that they've had for decades, or maybe it's somebody that died too young, or maybe died too old, and they knew it was kind of time. But either way, I get to deliver hope. And I get to say that this death is not the end. That we have a hope that we look forward to, a resurrection that is coming for us. And sometimes you, dear Christian, are in a position where you get to deliver hope. Maybe it is with the death of somebody that you know, or somebody that your friend has lost. Maybe it's you when you go to sit by a hospital bed and you get to say, "You know what? This is not the way it should be right now. But you know what? Jesus is working and his kingdom is near. And we have hope in what is to come, and all of this will be made right." Sometimes the word of peace that you give to somebody else is a word of hope. Sometimes the word of peace that you give is a chin up, right? You ever meet somebody who kind of needs a chin up? Right? And you get to say, you know what? I know that you feel down in the dumps right now. I know that you are depressed. You are sad. I know that you do not think highly of yourself. But Jesus died for you. Christ the Lord died for you. The Son of God died for you. You are worth the life of God Himself. That was God's idea. You're not allowed to think badly about yourself. Maybe I don't put it that way, right? But you are valuable. Sometimes people need a chin up and they need to remember who they are and whose they are and who they belong to. And sometimes that word of peace is a Bible passage or a Bible story. You know, I know that my job is to speak for a living, all right? And I've got a face for radio, all right? Sometimes there are times when somebody brings something to me and I have no idea what to say. But you know what I've learned after many, many years of trying this out? Is that I can tell them, you know what? That kind of reminds me of this Bible story. There might be a similarity, you know, or something that sounds like a Bible story. And I'll say, this reminds me of that Bible story. And here's what happened in that Bible story. And that's all I have to say because I don't know what to say. And you know what happens more often than not? They go, whoa, that really helps. Right? And here I'm thinking, I don't know how that helps. I just mentioned a Bible story, right? But that's the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. And sometimes for those people, hearing that God's Word speaks to situations like theirs is helpful. And so sometimes, dear Christian, if you don't know what to say, you still bring the Word of God near to that place in His power by just mentioning a verse that reminds you of or a Bible story that reminds you of. And sometimes bringing peace to a house, but maybe not sometimes, maybe all the time, means prayer. I don't know if you are somebody who is comfortable praying out loud with somebody else yet. And if you're not, that's okay. I finally am. There are still times where I have no idea what to say in a prayer, and I just start talking, and I hope the next word comes and it's coherent, right? But it's taken a lot of practice. And a lot of prayers that probably sound a little foolish, but I still had to pray out loud because that's my job, right? But you, dear Christian, as representative of the Lord, you are authorized to pray to Him on behalf of others. And sometimes the most healing thing to somebody else is a word of peace that comes in a prayer that you pray for them and with them. And as much as we just celebrated Independence Day, prayer is about dependence. It's putting dependence on God into action, right? That's what it's about. And when you invite somebody to pray with you, or you invite somebody to pray for them, what you are doing is you are helping them to depend on God in that situation. And so if you are uncomfortable praying, that's okay, but I encourage you to maybe start trying it out. Maybe just try out praying out loud, but on your own. Maybe try praying out loud, but with your spouse or with your kids. Maybe try praying out loud with a friend. But begin to try to pray out loud for people and for things in our world. And when you pray, it's okay. And what I usually do is I just say who God is. Hey, God, you are the Lord. You're the one who made all things. You care about us. God, you are the one who split the sea. God, you are the one who healed people. God, you are the one who rose from the dead. Whatever might be relevant to that situation and what you know about God and what He does, you can just say, God, that's who you are. And then you can just say, hey, God, because you do this, and we see that in Scripture, we ask that you would also do that kind of thing here right now. And then you can say, thanks, God, for what you do. Please continue to help this person. Amen. That's roughly the pattern that I follow when I pray. But dear Christian, you are sent as a representative of the Lord. Because at some point, Jesus sent a disciple to people who eventually brought that word to you. And now you are authorized by Jesus to bring that same word of power, that reign of the kingdom, near to others. And I know that can be intimidating. But you know what? The beautiful thing is that it's not your word. It's the Lord's word. And all throughout Scripture, there are people who couldn't talk very well. They stuttered. They did not present things very well. They were not good speakers. And you know what kind of people the Lord decided to use to bring His word to others? Those people. Because the power is not in how well they say it. The power is in the word. And you, dear Christian, you might be shy, you might stutter, you may not put things very well, but the Lord brings His word through you. So, dear Christian, we rejoice when we see the Lord working through others. We rejoice when we see that God's work has done something. We rejoice when our pews start filling up. We rejoice when we see, wow, the word is working. But you know what? What Jesus says at the very end of this, when His disciples come back and they get all excited because the word was working, He says, don't rejoice in that. That's up to me. Rejoice that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. That at some point the word and its power came into your life. Dear friends, the word has come to you, spoken to you. The word has come to you in a way that you can eat and drink. When Jesus says, this is my body, my blood for you. The word has come to you and washed over you and cleansed you of all of your sins. Rejoice, dear Christian, because that word has come to you in power and works through you for others. In Jesus' name, amen.